Jesus, name above all names. Whatever name you name in this world, there is one name that is above that name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible says that you shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. Never use the word Jesus or unnecessarily using the word Jesus Christ. A lot of people, so-called worldly people, use that word Jesus Christ without any recognition of the fact that that name is above all names. I've been listening to this song. Maybe you must have heard it on the radio. It says, "You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. How sweet is your name, Lord, how good you are. Love to sing in the name of the Lord, love to sing for you all. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again." What a sweet name it is. What a beautiful name, what a wonderful name. What a sweet name it is. It is all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus that we are here, my dear. We have been meditating on the series called Jesus, Name Above All Names. We have already completed 3 of the sermons in this particular series. We are going through the acronym of J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. First, we had the study on Jesus coming into this world, bringing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And then with E, we meditated on light or enlightenment. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And S, talking about sonship, that Jesus Christ has come into this world in order to enable us to become the children of God or sons of God. The Son of God became a son of man to make the sons of men the sons of God, to be adopted into the family of God. That was what we meditated upon. We are going to study 2 more in the next today and the next week, God willing. But just want to remind each other the theme verse for this particular series taken from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, please open it and take a look at it. Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 8, 9, and 10, as I read it, please listen to this carefully. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross." Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for us. In verse 9, it says, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name," the name above all names. And then in verse 11, "so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As I recollect, in the past month in December, we were watching the skit done by our children. That also on Spelling Bee. When I was listening to a couple of songs, it talked about the name of Jesus, name above all names. And I was thanking God that it was so very well gelled well with each other that we were focusing on the name of Jesus Christ. And today we are going to study on the next aspect about this name Jesus, U, that stands for understanding. So as we go to the next slide, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Shall we all read this together, please? All together as it is projected here. Please let us all read this. "And we know," please read together aloud. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I do want to worship you, Lord, because you are my creator. You are my maker. Lord, I am the sheep. You are my shepherd. I thank you that you took me into your fold, cleansed me with your precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. You have come into this world for a purpose, and I worship you, Lord, for that. As we meditate on your word, on this aspect about understanding, I pray that you may speak to each one of us. Guide us and lead us. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can fill in the blanks in the sermon notes that is passed on to you. If you need a pencil or a pen, please ask the brothers who are behind. They can pass on the pen or pencil to you. So please note it down. Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us understanding. Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Not only joy to the world, the Lord has come. Not only light of the world, he stepped down into darkness. Not only that Son of God became a son of man to make the sons of men the sons of God, but the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. What is this understanding? Let us, sometimes, you know, it helps us to read in other languages. So let us read this in Telugu language altogether, please. We rendu vachanallo kalusunnayandi, 19 20 vachanallo kalusunnayi, chadukundamu. Let's all read this together. Manamu satyavantudaina vanini erugavalenani దేవుని కుమారుడు వచ్చి మనకు వివేకమని అనుగ్రహించి ఉన్నాడని ఎరుగుదుము. మనము దేవుని కుమారుడైన యేసుక్రీస్తు నందున్న వారమై సత్యవంతుని అందున్నాము. ఆయనే నిజమైన దేవుడును నిత్యమై ఉన్నాడు. దిస్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఉర్దూ ఫర్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ అస్ హూ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్, ఆర్ ఎట్లీస్ట్ యూ రీడ్ దిస్ ఇన్ హిందీ ఆర్ ఇంగ్లీష్ టెక్స్ట్ బిలో. లెట్ అస్ రీడ్ దిస్ టుగెదర్. ఔర్ ఏ బి జాంతే హై కి ఖుదా కా బేటా ఆ గయా है और उसने हमें समझ बख्शी है ताकि उसको जो हकीकी है जाने और हम उसमें जो हकीकी है यानी उसके बेटे यीशु मसीह में है. हकीकी खुदा और हमेशा की जिंदगी यही है. हकीकी मीनिंग द ट्रू. अगेन समटाइम्स सम ऑफ अस डोंट अंडरस्टैंड दिस लैंग्वेज बट प्रेटी मच इफ यू सी इट इज टॉकिंग अबाउट द फैक्ट दैट खुदा का बेटा आ गया. ही हैज कम into this world. Talking about this word understanding, many times we don't understand the word understand. Somebody asked this word when I was growing up. They used to, you know, have riddles, and they used to ask this question. They used to say, tell me this particular sentence in one English word, entire sentence in one English word. And they said in Hindi, they said, ladki niche kadi rahi hai. Can you tell that in one word? And we used to think, oh, what does it mean? Ladki niche kadi rahi hai. What is it? Is there an English word which is one word that tells the entire one? Ladki niche kadi rahi hai. Misunderstanding. 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 So altogether, it talks about one word, misunderstanding. Many times we don't understand some of the words here, some of the things that we don't understand. The Bible says there is no one who understands. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10 and 11. Could you, get any one of us, could you please read? Romans chapter 3, 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. The Bible says there is none who understands. That means everyone misunderstands. There is everyone who misunderstands. That is the nature of man, that he always misunderstands. I don't know if you have ever meditated on this one word, understand, from the Bible. Bibles, first of all, to be clear in our understanding, the word again, we are using the word understand. The Bible says there is none who understands. దెర్ ఈస్ నన్. దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్, గ్రహించలేకపోతున్నారు. దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు రియలీ అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ ఇన్ ప్లాన్ ఫర్ ఈచ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ అస్. సన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ కేమ్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్ టు గివ్ అస్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. రిమెంబర్ దాట్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్ జీసస్ కమింగ్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్ టు గివ్ అస్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. And that is what we see here. There are three words the Bible talks about, and even the worldly sense also people use these three words. Those three words are knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I don't know if you have read through in your Bible multiple times, these three words are repeatedly used. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Sometimes these three words are used interchangeably. But if you really look at this, each of these words, there is something that we can learn from these three words. I came across this particular one, I thought I will share with you. If you want to note it down, you can note it down. First of all, knowledge. Those with knowledge are able to collect, remember, and access information. Knowledge. Gathering information, knowledge. Just to gather information, gathering the facts. All that the person, when the Bible says knowledge puffs up, because it is only collection of information. And now with this internet world, with Googling and encyclopedias that are available online, it is, you are able to access information as much as you need. Maybe much more than what you need. So that is knowledge. Secondly, understanding. Understanding is a lens which brings the facts into crisp focus and produces principles. Meaning of it. What exactly does it mean? And to be able to take a lens and really focus upon that and to produce principles behind it. Not just knowledge, not just knowing about something, but what kind of principles that I can learn. That is understanding. And thirdly, those with wisdom know which principle to apply in a given context. Now that you got the information, you collected the information, you are able to create some principles. Now in a given context, how are you able to apply those principles is wisdom. I hope you understand these three words. Understand, again, the word understand, we keep using it very often. But here if you see knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you read the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about it. By wisdom the Lord created this world and many other things. I'm not going to go through every aspect about this because we are going to focus on understanding. What is this understanding that you and I should be able to learn today? About understanding. U-S, understanding. And what is this understanding that you and I should be able to have? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Please read Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it says. Three words, all the three words that are used, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The Bible is clear about these three aspects. And you and I need to recognize that there is no one who has an understanding. Why? Why is it that no one has a clear understanding? Because people use their own understanding. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Own understanding. We are not talking about self-understanding here. Why? The reason is our understanding is not the real understanding that God wants us to have. It is more of a misunderstanding. We are not able to really understand with our own eyes. With our own lens of eyes, we are not able to. And that is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 Ephesians, if you go a couple of books to the left, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Please read. Yes, in verse 18, if you have any other translation, it says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, if you have a KJV version, I think, in the King James version or any other version, could you please read? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, understanding or eyes of your heart or inner eyes, na mano netramulu terachi. There are songs also that talk about that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, may be opened up because we are in the dark. We are in the dark. We are unable to see. That is why it says understanding is a lens that brings the facts into crisp focus. Because we don't have a proper lens or understanding of the fact that what is God talking about. That is why Apostle Paul in verse 18 he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Eyes of your understanding that you may have a clear view as to what is this. Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us understanding. Not only does it say in 1 John 5:20, but there was an incident when Jesus rose again from the dead. On that resurrection Sunday, he was walking along with two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, we see who is the one who gives us understanding. Luke chapter 24 and in verse 45. And here, Jesus was walking with them. And then it says in verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, or he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures in some other languages. If you follow the King James Version, it says he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. In some other translations, it uses the word he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It is God who can open our understanding. Our understanding comes from God alone. If you have been part of our Bible studies series, when we were meditating on the book of Philippians, there are three major sections that we have been meditating upon. One, we call it as observation. And the second, interpretation. And the third is application. Observation is to be able to gather the facts, what happened, what situation, what was it going on. That is a context. To gather the information. And then comes interpretation. What does it mean? What kind of principles can I learn from this particular passage that I am? And then application. How can I apply those principles in my context? That is application. Observation, interpretation, and application. If you see, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is just to be able to use your mind and say, oh, what is going on? Where did this happen? How did this happen? What was the situation it happened, etc. Then comes understanding. What does the passage mean? What does the passage say? What does the passage mean? And then comes wisdom to apply it, application. What does the passage mean to me in my situation that I'm going through? With that introduction to understanding, there are certain things that we want to learn about this particular verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. If you have your sermon notes, you have the verse right on that page itself. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. If you haven't studied the book of 1 John or the first epistle of John, I greatly encourage you to have a study, personal study on the first letter of John. For those of us who have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are struggling with a doubt whether am I really saved, am I certain that God has, is it certain that God has forgiven me of my sins? Do I have the assurance of salvation? If you have been struggling through such kind of questions, this is the right book for you to meditate upon. 1 John talks about the ways in which you can be really sure that you are saved. And we know, this is how you will know, this is how you will know. So many times it's repeated in this particular book. I love this book because it really gives me the certainty. It really gives me assurance of salvation. Assurance that I'm a child of God through the way in which 1 John, the Apostle John, has been mentioning all through. This is how you know God. If you say that I love God and hate my brother, you are still in darkness. That means I need to question myself about my salvation. And many such kind of things that keeps talking about to have that clarity. Lord, if I'm really saved, help me to be able to show forth that, Lord, in my horizontal relationship. Help me, Lord, if I know you and know your love towards me, help me to show that love to each and every person. That is what it talks about. You need to have love towards God, have love towards each other. Be it husband and wife, the way in which you are loving each other, parent and child, in-laws relationship, brother and sister relationship, church brothers and sisters relationship, whatever is the kind of relationship, once you know God, once you really recognize that He has loved you, you want to reflect that in your horizontal relationship. Many times we are fooled. Somebody comes and tells you that if you had done this prayer of confession, you are saved. And people blindly think that they are saved. They don't have that assurance of salvation. May I encourage you to go through this 1 John carefully enough and try to look at those phrases where it says, by this we will know. We will know. We know. We know. This is being able to have that confidence that God is the one who has done His work in me. There's a song which says, let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our eyes. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Give us a fresh understanding. What is this fresh understanding? Lord, help me to understand your word in such a manner that as I recognize you, I may apply it in my daily life. So in verse 20, we see, we know that the Son of God has come. Jesus Christ has come into this world. We just celebrated the Christmas season. And why did He come? To give us understanding. Maybe that should be our prayer. Lord, give me understanding. Give me a fresh understanding in this year 2018. What is this understanding about? And the Bible here, it says that He wants to give us an understanding about who He is. An understanding about true God. If at all you want to remember this sermon, remember 1 John 5:20, that Christ Jesus came into this world to give us understanding that He is the true God. He is the true God. How do we see that? Let us once again go back to verse 20. It says, and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. Let us note down the first one. Let us note down the first one. That we may know Him who is true. That we may know Him who is true. Satyavantudaina vanini erugavalenani. To Him He who is true. That we may know Him who is true. Lot of people don't know the one who is true. They have a misunderstanding of who the God is. They have their own understanding. They make God in their own image. They say, this is how I think God would be. This is how I think God should be. This is what my understanding of God is. Who is asking us to give our understanding of who God is? The Bible says that Christ Jesus has come into this world to give us understanding. It is not self-understanding. It is not what your understanding of God is. It is not your understanding of who God is. But what God wants us to understand who He is. That you may know Him who is true. The Bible is clear about the God who is a true God. A lot of people don't know this God. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and entered into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, they were able to see wondrous things God has done. They learned many lessons like the waters at Meribah and Massah. And also, they were able to learn many, many lessons as to how God gave them manna. And even when they crossed the Red Sea, when they crossed the Jordan River, many, many wonderful things that they have seen and they have understood and knew who this real God is. But you know what happened? That real God that they have experienced, they did not pass it on from generation to generation. Parents, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to pass on the faith that we have to our next generation, that they may know the only true God. But sadly, there is one verse in the book of Judges, during the time of Judges, chapter 2. Please read Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Please read. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord and not the work which has done for Israel. Do you want to read in any other language, please? Judges 2:10. Any other language? Nyayadhipathulu, Rendo Adhyayamu, Padavachanam. Erugani Taramu, they did not know this God. They did not know the Jehovah God. One generation has passed, and there arose another generation after that who did not know the Lord. Whenever I read this verse, I really, really feel so much of the fact that isn't this what is happening in our generation as well? As parents, are we able to pass on what we have understood, what we have known about this true God to the next generation? They did not know the Lord. What a sad thing it is that they did not know the Lord. Even in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 2 Chronicles, Rendava Dinavatantamlu, chapter 15 and verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. This is what is happening in the present generation as well. 2 Chronicles 15:3. Please read. Nijamaina Devudu. Devudu Ainanu. Nijamaina Devudu. They are not able to know this true God. And Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us understanding that we may know Him who is true. People of Israel, they did not. They were without the true God. They went after the idols. They went after the Baals. And went after every other God, but not the true God. The true God. I really love this, the way in which it talks about assertive. It doesn't say one of the true gods. It doesn't say that any other a God who is just like any other true God. No. It talks about the exclusivity of our God. He is the one and only true God. And here Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us understanding that we may know Him who is true. Jeremiah 10:10. Jeremiah 10:10, what does it say? I'm just giving you these references so that you may be able to recognize. People may ask, who is this? Why do you say that Jesus only is the true God? Why is Jehovah only the true God? Jeremiah 10:10. Yes. But the Lord or the Jehovah is the true God. Yes. He is the living God and the everlasting King. You may want to note these verses. You may want to note these references so that when the time comes, you can be able to refer to this and say, the Bible says that Jehovah is the true God. Please read in any other language. Chalandi. Yehovaye nijamaina devudu. What a wonderful statement that is. Is it not wonderful? Is it not a privilege for us to be able to believe that true God? There are many who do not believe in this true God because they have, their eyes of understanding is blinded. Their eyes of understanding is blinded. Isaiah chapter 46, wonderful chapter. There's only a few verses in that. But Isaiah chapter 46 talks about how this God is, that there is no one like him. If you want to read it, you can read it in my Bible. The heading of this particular chapter, it says, Babylon's idols and the true God. He compares the Babylonian idols with the true God. And he says, listen to me, all the images that are there. And also wonderful, you know, Isaiah chapter 46 is referred to many as promise giving verses in this particular one. In verse 4, it says, even to your old age, I will be the same. I will carry you. There are many songs that talk about in verse 4. But if you see, the focus of attention in this particular chapter is that Jehovah God is the true God. There is no one that can compare to him in verse 5. You cannot compare anything to this Jehovah God. If God has worked in your heart to be able to come out of this idolatry, 1 John chapter 5, wonderfully, again, I just want us to go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. This is the penultimate verse of 1 John, meaning last but one verse. What is the ultimate verse? What does it say in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. There is a comparison between idols and the true God here. That is what it talks about in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21. If the Lord has opened your eyes of understanding to come out of the idolatry and to serve the only living God, you can refer to this 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 9. Please read. How you turned from idols to serve a living and true God. Any other language, please? Verse 9. Vigrahamulanu vidichipetti jeevamu galavadunu satyavantudagunu Devuniki. Yes. Turning from idols to serve a living and true God. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When somebody is saying, I am the truth, why do we need to go after the false? I want to go away from every false way. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus is also one of the gods. Let me take him. Psalm 119, 104, you don't need to open it. Psalm 119, 104 says, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. When I get understanding, Psalm 119, 104, when I get understanding, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. Why? Because he has given me understanding to know the true way. Somebody said, when Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it could also be translated from Greek as, I am the true way to life. I am the true way to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true way to life. The true way, the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. What are those idols? Maybe we have come from a different faith where we were worshiping idols. Even if you are born in a Christian family, you may be having idols. Remember that. You may be having idols. The moment you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you think about? Phone? Any messages? Maybe phone becomes an idol. Maybe a spouse becomes an idol. Maybe some possessions, maybe your car, maybe your job becomes an idol. Maybe your health becomes an idol. What is your idol in your life, my dear? The Bible says, keep away from idols, little children. You need to serve the living and true God by turning away from idols. Idol is anything that you keep above God. Doesn't matter whether it is a thing or a person. We need to be able to learn this important lesson. Lord, I want to turn from idolatry to serve the living and true God, to know the one who is true, that we may know him who is true. The second one, in the same verse, 1 John 5:20, it says, we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. We are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. Talking about that, not only do we need to know this true God, but also to abide in him, to remain in him, to be able to continue to cling on to him in this new year 2018. Not only should you know this true God, I'm not talking about knowing about. There's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Let me be clear. Having knowledge about something is different from knowing someone. The children of the president, they know their father. But everybody else, every citizen, knows about the president. There's a difference. There is no personal relationship with the person, yet you might have knowledge. But knowing the person requires an intimate relationship. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 says, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Adam knew his wife Eve. You know what it says? It means to have that close, intimate relationship. That is why the word knew his wife comes. To be able to have such a kind of a relationship between husband and wife, such is the kind of relationship God wants you and I to know him. I know my God. My sheep know me, the Bible says in John chapter 10. To know this one and true God. And secondly, that we are in him who is true. I am in my Lord. Christ in me and I in Christ. That is a kind of relationship. And to that we are in him who is true. Because he is true, I am ready to be able to abide in him. I'm ready to be able to continue to cling on to him. John chapter 15 says, abide in me and I in you and you will bring forth much fruit. The more you abide in him, the more you spend time with God and be able to have the close relationship with him in this year 2018 once again. Not only knowing this true God, but to be able to abide in this true God. Lord, I want to be able to spend time with you. Lord, no matter what happens in my life, the first thing that I want to do when I get up in the morning is to be able to remember you. And thank you, Lord, for giving me yet another day in my life. That reminds me of a recent incident that has happened after the watch night service. We were all thankful to God the moment the clock turned midnight. We all greeted each other, thanking the Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving, for enabling us to enter into this year 2018. After the watch night service was over, we were returning home. And my wife, Salome, she was checking the various greetings that were coming. And at that time, we suddenly noticed that one of her cousins passed away the early hours of 1st Jan. He went to the watch night service, spent time with family members. I think on the 4th or 5th, his mom's birthday, 70th birthday, and he made plans for it. And he told his mom also, Mom, tomorrow let us have this special breakfast and all that. On 31st night, he said all of that. And at 2 o'clock, he sent a message to Salome's brother also, Happy New Year and everything. 6 o'clock, he died while he was asleep. He died. My dear, we don't know what life holds for us. Many people did not see this year 2018. For that matter, those who saw 2018 also are no longer alive. Just a few hours into January 1st. We were surprised. We were on our way back home and suddenly we see this news. Since then, every morning when I wake up, I keep thanking the Lord. Lord, I could have died. You kept me alive to see another new day in my life. Why? You have a purpose in my life. God has a purpose for each of our lives. We want to know this true God, not to have idols in our lives, but to have God as a first and the foremost priority. What do you do the moment you wake up? Question yourself. What is the first thing that you do the moment you open your eyes, or even sometimes not even open your eyes, still on the bed? What is that we do? What is that we do? Life on this earth is very short, my dear. Don't take it for granted. The earthly life is uncertain. But there is one who has given us eternal life, and that is what we'll conclude with, the last point. He is the true God and eternal life. He is the true God and eternal life. If we are alive on this earth, God has given us yet another day in our lives to come closer to Him, to be prepared to meet the Lord. The book of Amos says, prepare to meet the Lord. I don't know how. Either His second coming may happen, or we may have to leave this world. There is no age limit or age criteria for us to leave this earth. Young people, this cousin of his, 15 years ago, there are three boys in the family. The first one, at the age of 20, he met with an accident and he died. The second one, he got married and his wife got sick and she died. And now, the first son, on January 1st, while he was on his bed, sudden massive heart attack. Sudden blood pressure went up. Done with it. We could imagine how the parents were going through. Third son, second daughter-in-law, and the first son. Oh my dear. This was old parents. How they were going through it. That reminded me of the fact that when we are alive on this earth, why did God keep us on this earth? He kept us on this earth to be prepared to meet Him. Nothing is taken for granted, my dear. Don't ever consider it. But the first one thing is guaranteed, and that is eternal life. That is eternal life. Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us eternal life. 1 John, the first letter of John. It says, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Who is this eternal life? Jesus Christ. Who is this true God? Jesus Christ. He is the true God. You can consider the triune God. Yes, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us understanding. Three ways about the true God. One, that we may know Him who is true. Two, that we are in Him who is true and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, this is the true God and the eternal life. Do you need any other confirmation about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? The fact that He is the true God. Many people don't want to remember or not want to accept this fact. Only God can give us the understanding. He can open our understanding. Just like He opened the eyes of the people who are walking on the road to Emmaus. He is the one who has come into this world to open our understanding. To open our understanding to know Him. To know Him intimately. Husband and wife, do you know each other intimately enough? Because that is the kind of relationship God wants us to have with Him. If we are not able to maintain that close relationship. We don't know what is going to happen next. Take one day at a time. One day, there's a song also, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Because one day is sufficient with all the things that we are going through in our lives. One day is sufficient for us. One day at a time, take one day at a time. Say, Lord, I thank you for another day that you have given me in my life. I want to know you. I want to know you and the power of the resurrection, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Life is too short, my dear. Have a proper relationship with God. Have a proper relationship with husband and wife and family members and brothers and sisters. Don't have any kind of a bitter relationship, because we don't know how long we will live on this earth. Life is not worth it. Be prepared for eternal life that God has promised us way ahead of time. And we'll conclude with this verse, John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17 and verse 3. Please read. This is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the eternal life. Knowing him itself is eternal life. Your eternal life begins the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Eternal life doesn't begin after you die. Eternal life, the zero, time zero, T0, they say, right? In your project management timeline, what is T0? The T0 is the date when, on the day when you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, your infinity has begun. Eternal life has begun. That is why in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, not will have eternal life. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, to recognize that he is the true God, the one who has come down into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins, that Jesus, if you believe in him, if you know him to the extent of having your understanding opened up, eyes of your understanding, God, thank you for opening my understanding. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world to give me understanding. That is what the key word for today is. And I hope we will remember this true God and eternal life and share this with others and be confident when somebody questions you and says, how do you know that Jesus is a true God? How? Why do you say that this Jehovah God is a true God? You can be able to refer to these verses and say, this is the true God. John chapter 17 and verse 3, it says, the true God. Jeremiah 10:10 says, the Lord God is the true God. What more do you need as a proof of the fact that he is the true God? Yes, no doubt. He exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son came down into this world, gave his life for us, shed his precious blood for us, so that we may have eternal life. So may the Lord give us understanding, a fresh understanding in this year 2018. And may I request each one of us to have that intimate relationship with God and relate well with each other, my dear. Don't have any bitter relationships with anyone. But connect to each other, because life is short. This is just the beginning of another year. If we are going to see the end of the year, praise God for it. But every day is a day we should be thankful to God for, including today. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down.